You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 571 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined this week by Mr. Fosma Moon and Seth Miller. Gentlemen.
Howdy. Good morning.
How's Winter Storm Fern treating you?
Just getting started.
Cold and white.
Cold and white. I saw Texas. Texas got some snow. Foz, you're getting snow. Seth, you're getting flurries.
Yeah. I will say I had two different flights out for the West Coast this week. One has already canceled. Delta proactively canceled my JFK LA flight. I had bought it with e-credits. Actually, I had a leftover, I had a ticket as part of my 25 for 25, or I was using Delta to reposition because JetBlue didn't have flights to get me where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of my many, many cancellations of different things during those travels, I canceled it and rebooked and canceled and rebooked. And so I had this like $180 credit, I think, and used 150 of it to go to LA this coming week for a conference. And then this happened, and I was based on being down in New York for some events. With the storm, I decided I wasn't going to go to New York, but I also wasn't sure if I would get to, how I would cancel it and what the refund would be. And so knowing that it was, refundable back to the original credit anytime I wanted, I just sat on it and waited for Delta to cancel the flight. And when they did, they offered a refund to my original form of payment, which if I had been a credit card, regular cash, obviously would have taken, but 5-year credit instead of 1 year. So I got 4.5 extra years out of my credit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I figured if I can, wait till 2030 and get another snow day and keep rolling it out, I can eventually pass Foz's SDC record.
That'll never happen. Never happen. What do you think the proactive cancellations, was it when they let you know about that? Yesterday?
The flight was that canceled was for Sunday, 6 p.m., and they let me know Saturday, 10 a.m., well in advance.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be
on. JetBlue's doing the same thing. They're all canceling. Those are the two I have, so I'm seeing it. JetBlue hasn't canceled my flight yet. It's theoretically after the storm ends, but I'm not sure I'll be able to get to the airport. So that'll be exciting.
Does the bus run?
Well, so they're shutting down the bus to the airport because the airport's closing. So why would you run the bus?
Yeah.
And the restart of the bus will be based in part on when flights start, and no one really knows yet. So it's pretty fuzzy situation. But I will say, lots and lots of flights canceled proactively, which should be good. American Airlines has been advertising. They put a bunch of extra flights out of Charlotte. I want to say 6,000 seats. So call it 15-20 flights. And what's interesting is Charlotte to O'Hare every 20 minutes from 2 to 7 PM or something like that. So there's a state amount of passing. But they're trying to get people basically around the north, all the good stuff out of the Northeast. If you can get sort of down and around the storm, they'll get you either from Charlotte where you're going or to O'Hare to go where you're going. It is not clear if these flights count towards their fight with United over gate space.
I was going to say, is Scott Kirby starting Charlotte to Chicago every 10 minutes?
One day only. It's real interesting to see them, airlines getting theoretically better at moving planes and people out of harm's way and into position. At the same time, Charlotte is supposed to get snow and ice, so I don't know how well that's... I guess that gives them plenty of time to de-ice them and thaw them out, but I mean, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's interesting where they're picking to put planes.
Yeah, but Denver also was supposed to get a bunch of ice, Dallas was supposed to get a bunch of ice, so why, you don't want to leave them there.
Yeah, I guess Charlotte, maybe they're taking the chance. Why don't you put them all in Miami? It'll be fine.
Yeah, no room in Miami.
Let's talk about some aircraft orders. Alaska, a lot of planes.
Largest order in their history. A lot of big planes, too. 105 MAX 10s and 5 787s over the next decade. This is orders through 2035. Also, an additional 35 options on the MAX 10.
So, presumably, a lot of these are replacements for their 737, 8, and 9s.
Probably. What's interesting about it is the release says that they currently fly 413 and they expect to have 550 by 2035. And so even with all the options, that's 110, 145 would be 458. So the release suggests that only 8 would retire between now and then that would not be otherwise replaced. Now, obviously, they've got the 717s problem. Mm-hmm. The islands, those got to get replaced at some point, right? And some other things going on. I expect there'll be a lot of replacements, but that also sort of implies that there has to be new orders to be able to account for replacements not yet announced.
What do you think they replace the 717s with?
E-175s.
No.
If you look at the Hawaii network, from what I have been able to tell, and Seth can always validate this, the amount of inter-island flights has drastically fallen on Hawaiian over the last 10 years.
Well, because Southwest showed up.
And other things, too. I'll just pull the numbers up here while we're talking. I'm sure the flight numbers are down, but they also, I think it's how much of that is also, how much of that is frequencies down, but capacity up with larger planes, right? It wasn't always 717s.
There's also a lot more flights from the mainland to all the secondary islands.
Yes. But in theory, the regional stuff was for, or the inner island stuff was, for the locals, not necessarily connections. Looking at it, full year total number of seats peaked in 2018, 2019 at just under 9 million and is now around 7 million on Hawaiian. So it's basically running like 2012 levels.
So I think they could do 175s with more frequencies.
So this is where I was going to say is, do you do 175s with more frequencies? Both frequencies and seats are down right now, but back to, like I said, to 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Or do you do 190 E2s that are more efficient, but are bigger, closer in size to the 717s in terms of seat capacity? They fly them as mainline anyway, so they don't have to worry about scope clause stuff.
Or do you do 220s?
And if you want the 190 or 195 E2s, do you wait until Avelo collapses and buy theirs?
Oh, nice little jab there. You got to get that in. I like that.
Or will Avelo ever take them? Right? Like, that's an interesting option. I'm curious that Southwest and if the total capacity has actually dropped.
I mean, I think the inefficiency of the 175s is where I'm like, would Alaska dedicate a subfleet to the islands?
Just adding Southwest into the capacity, the inner island numbers are up significantly. They're over 10 million seats annually now, 72,000 flights, down a little from 2024, but way up from, still 10 or 15% up in seats from 2019, 2020.
So do we want to take a prediction with what they do?
Buy new planes?
You think they buy new planes? Foz, you think they do 175s?
I mean, these 175s could be new, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went to 175s and decided to use those mainline capacity at the mainland.
Are you talking about what mainline capacity they have in our island?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it is. They don't have very much inner island not on 717s right now. Like one a day in 25 and three a week.
But 717s are mainline, right?
Yes and no. They don't have anything else, so they can't move those to the mainland.
Right, but I'm saying from a scope clause perspective and what have you, I would not be surprised if they put 175s and upgrade some of the stuff on the mainland just because of the competitive nature of Hawaii right now.
So you would take SkyWest or Horizon, put a base in Hawaii, and move them out there, and then if you like, push those planes out there and buy the 190s or the 220s for the mainland operations?
Yes, or just more 737s.
I don't think they're going to get enough 737s. That's my concern with this whole plan.
They can't get enough fast enough?
I don't think they can get enough fast enough. I think they have to go to something else. Which, oddly enough, during the paint scheme release, it doesn't say proudly all Boeing anymore.
Because they're not.
Yeah.
And they haven't been for a long time, but now they really can.
So, they also are saying they're going to have 12 long-haul destinations from Seattle by 2030. And they're going to get... They're going to have 17 787s, and then they're going to take some 787-10s, right?
These five. So the first 12 would be 9s, and these five are supposed to be 10s.
That's a lot more capacity. I think you were having a conversation on Blue Sky about the capacity of the 787-10s being a big plane in air quotes compared to, say, 744 or 777-300?
Yeah, not to a 744. I mean, it is a big plane. We were talking about the value of that and bank relative to the 380, because I think the Aircurrent guys are,
yep.
What's their podcast though? I got that wrong.
I don't listen to podcasts. I don't know.
Me neither.
is it called the Aircurrent?
No. I mean, I think that's John's, John's news outlet. Anyway,
I'm looking up now. The Air Show.
The Air
Current okay. Air Show. Yeah.
There you go. Those guys are talking about, and somewhat justifiably, how like the 787-10 is just an incredibly efficient producer of capacity. It's a stretch of an existing frame, essentially. And if you're willing to trade off the slightly lower range, which for most airlines, most of the time, it's still plenty of, you know, range to get most places across oceans, you get incredibly good economics in terms of both seats and cargo. Mm-hmm. And the comment is made of, you know, well, airports are just getting more crowded and you have to, and there's no more runways being built, so you have to be able to do this. And I laughed because literally 22 years ago, right, whenever the 380 was being launched, that was the exact same marketing Airbus used. It's going to be an incredibly efficient creator capacity and there's no more runways and airports being built, so you can't get into hubs anyway, you know, can't grow hubs, so you've got to grow capacity on each flight. And it's true. There isn't, we have proven over the 20 years that there are basically no new hubs being built, but the 380 proved a commercial failure, or has stopped. I don't know if we can fully call it a failure, but not the panacea it was expected to be. And it turned out part of that is it wasn't quite as efficient at doing all those things, especially cargo. And part of it is that, you know, Emirates is the one who wanted to do it. And some of their flights, many of their flights are long enough that the 380 started to have some issues. And then the big twins come along. And when you've got a 777-300ER or 350-1000 and soon to be the 777X that can get almost as many people in almost the same level of comfort, the days for the 380 ended. And the 787-10, as John Walton rightfully pointed out, is a much smaller plane than 777X or 77W. Especially if you put real premium cabins in, and the premium heavy demand that the world is seeing right now, you're not gonna get the same total capacity, but it still is a very efficient way to move people around. And the 737 MAX 10 is sort of the same thing at the domestic and single aisle level, right? You can run transcons on it in the US. You're not gonna run it across oceans. You're not gonna put it in the biggest areas, but you get that very efficient capacity. Of course, it doesn't really exist yet, so we got to wait for that to get certified. But it's coming.
I mean, this is, I didn't realize, it's like, for example, like Korean is running Seoul, San Francisco.
Yeah.
On a 787-10.
Is it United also?
United's running Haneda LAX on a 787-10. They're running Haneda Chicago on a 7810.
Yeah.
So
it is less capacity than their 777Ws, but still a lot.
It meets the need. I guess I was always assuming the 7810s, we were always told like, oh, the range of the 7810 isn't as good as the 789, which is true, but it's more that its capacity and ability to handle weight mixed with range is not necessarily as long as the 789.
Yeah, looking at the schedule for this summer, like United seems to have them based at Newark and O'Hare and Athens, Brussels, Chicago, Rome, Frankfurt, Sao Paulo, Haneda with the LAX bit also, and they'll route LAX and Newark on some flights to fix that. Lisbon, right? Another very crowded airport where you can't get more capacity, but in the summer, everybody wants it. Tel Aviv, same. So Tel Aviv's an interesting one because that's one where they used to do 7Ws, 777Ws.
Yeah.
They've sort of scaled back a little there despite theoretically massive demand and limited competition.
Wait, could they have? I don't think they've ever done 77Ws. I know they did 772s.
They did 77Ws. They were doing them double daily for a while.
Okay.
To Tel Aviv, Newark, Tel Aviv. And then they were doing 772s from Dulles at one point. And then San Francisco was a 772 maybe, or 789 when they were doing San Francisco. Yeah. I here's my thing.
I'm talking about 2017, 2018, 2019. 2020, they returned 77Ws.
We talked about this a little bit while we were in Malaga. The idea that you just can't get a 77W anymore. So your option is wait for the 77X.
Yeah.
Or take a 7810.
Yeah.
Because you can get more capacity. I mean,
if you don't need the extra capacity.
Yeah.
And the range, it's not a bad choice.
Is the 788 just dead? Is it, like we've talked about it before, BA has a huge subfleet of them, or not huge, but a decent sized subfleet of them. United has a decent subfleet of them. And the Japanese carriers have subfleets of them. But is there a market for it?
It's not a full capacity. I think it's a limited market, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Interestingly, just looking at United's configuration, United's 777W versus 787-10.
Mm-hmm.
The 777 is 16 more business, 3 more premium economy, 13 more economy.
Hmm.
So it's 19, 22, 32 more seats. It's actually not that many more seats, but it has way bigger range. So if you need the ultra long haul, you got to deal with that. If you don't need the ultra long haul and you need planes sooner, and don't know, we still don't know when the 777X is coming.
Yeah.
That 7710, carries more people than the 200ER.
Yeah.
In Polaris config.
Going back to Alaska for a second. Sorry. I mean, I saw someone's comment about, they're like, well, this puts them really on par with Delta and United. I'm like, no. I don't think, because, like, as being like a real international carrier, I'm like, no.
I mean, international flights out of two hubs, but 550 aircraft in, there are 400 aircraft today, 550 by 2035, and that's including regionals, because it's the whole group, against basically Delta, United, and American will operate 1,500 a day.
Yeah. Like, I'm still stand by my theory that Alaska needs a different hub somewhere else. I don't think you can capture enough traffic from Portland, Seattle, San Diego, which is really where they're focused right now, to make a dent.
Yeah.
I mean, candidly, they could make a dent in San Diego but the problem is they're only really throwing regional planes in there.
Oh yeah, and you want to fly on 175 to everywhere in the United States? Great.
Yeah,
perfect. We're the airline for you.
I mean, so could be worse. It could be a CRJ.
Okay. All right. Let's keep the gloves up. Okay. I've flown those CRJs. All right. So Delta also had some, it's a bunch of order stuff today. Delta orders, they are going with the 7810?
Yeah.
Everyone thought they were just going to stick with the 350. So what do you think changed their mind? The availability of the 350?
Tariffs.
Just stick with the 350. Or not just, also stab the 350.
Yeah.
I suspect tariffs played into it, would be my suspicion.
But they have neat little loopholes around the tariffs, I thought.
I think you can only do that so much before, like, it's a known thing now. It's only a matter of time until someone goes after it.
Mm.
I mean, it's been known for decades, but yeah. I think they needed, part of it, I think, is delivery timing. Part of it is pricing. And part of it is keeping the competitive situation open just in case. I wouldn't surprise them if there's some politics in play of we do need some American planes in our order book just to, you know, keep the White House happy, but they still have the 100 MAX 10s theoretically also. And I do think that there's an argument to be made in a capacity perspective of it does sit between the 330, which will now replace its 767s. There's still no, the 321 Neo, which will replace most of the 757s. They stopped using them in transatlantic, so they don't need that anymore. And so they can use 321 especially with their XLR with the lie-flap beds, or the LRs, whatever, with the lie-flap beds, give them that premium configuration, for domestic stuff. And then, you know, it's a little bit of a equal substitute to the 330. I think it's a little bigger. So, and not a bad place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And then United is doing some order conversions. What's the story there?
Believe it or not, Max, 77-10s.
Wow.
So I just pulled up the configs. The 330 Neo, the 330-900 for Delta is 15 and 25, is like 40 seats smaller than the 7710 on the United's config. So, yeah, doesn't mean that's exactly how it'll play out, but it's significant. Actually, the 350-900 is also smaller than the 787-10 in terms of, if I'm doing this math right in my head on the fly. Nah, it's close. It's very similar. 4040-195 is the high J config.
Okay.
That's only 275 seats, and the 7710 is 315.
No, it's not a huge difference.
Yeah, but 30 or 40 seats at a time, right? That's and it's the same number of premium. Delta's got more premium economy, premium select.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It is weird to see, but the 350-900, I think, has way more range, especially in the high J config. So they can run it all the way to South Africa from Atlanta that they couldn't do with the Dash 10. Hmm. I don't think.
No, the Dash 10 can't do it. You need right. 9 is what you need.
So.
Yeah. It's funny to see this, the 7810 just become kind of the go-to plane now.
Well, and it's a split of 9s and 10s if you want Boeing, and then you got the 350-900-1000 if you need the Airbus. It'd be interesting to see where the 330neo comes into the market, especially, right, the 330 Classic's got to start retiring at some point.
Well, I think it's a one-to-one replacement, and then they also have the 76s, so the 330neo fills in those gaps, maybe? Just a lot of plane.
Yeah, the 330neo is a lot more plane than a 76.
Yeah.
It's closer to a 764 than a 3, and even still, I think, maybe more.
But maybe it meets their capacity growth numbers in those particular markets from the 7.6?
Yeah, the 330neo is 50 more seats than the 7.64, and even bigger than that compared to the 7.63. So it's a lot of capacity. But yes, it helps you grow. The question is then, do those marginal European routes still pay off?
I mean, this comes back to, I think, it's a Delta problem, but I think there's also the United problem, right? I mean, they've removed a lot of the 752 flying, but you still have a ton of 7.63s. Flying across the Atlantic. What do you do? Is it you don't want the 789? It seems like a waste of an airframe.
789 is too much capacity. The 788 is the right amount of capacity, but has so much less flexibility unless Boeing starts giving them away. Why would you do that?
But is the high J 789 config too much capacity?
It's a lot of J seats.
But it's a lot of J seats. And you know, are you running, do you need that for some of the secondary European summer markets?
I'm just trying to think of like, okay, so you got all the London stuff. Okay. I could see going 7810 even, or high J 789.
In the summer.
Well, it already is going high J 789 with the San Francisco routes. So it's just a matter, they'll just start rotating them through the other.
What do you think they do with Newark though? High J?
At this point, I think there are days when they don't have enough seats.
Wow.
Is it for, yeah, business or PE?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. So then let's take some of the tertiary routes, right? Like you've got Malaga, you've got Faro. Did we say Faro's on a 763 or we said it's on a 752?
There's 7 Max?
No, that's Ponte Delgada and okay. There was one other 7-8 Max. Maybe it is a Max, but I don't think it is. I think it's 752. But it's just like, okay, what do you do? Those planes are going to go away. You got to put a 787 on that? That's wild.
Yeah.
A lot of the 788 routes could probably go 789, pushing the 788s down.
Okay. You need more 789s then.
Which they're getting more 789s.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're adding, 20 this year?
Yeah, there's a lot. And some of those are the high J.
Yeah.
They all are, aren't they?
The first one they got wasn't, like this, the one that just came, that just got delivered, wasn't a high J.
The elevated interiors, the elevate layout, I think it's supposed to be everything, pretty much everything very soon.
And then let's talk about Detroit, if you guys want to. There was an incident with a car going through the check-in area, just drove right through the doors into basically the check-in desks at Detroit. I can't find a ton of information on what actually happened. They arrested the driver.
The red zone is for
parked vehicle or for dropping passengers only. He was definitely in the red zone.
Surprised there's not bollards.
Yeah.
Can we check with the World Bollard Association, see what happened there?
There are. Somehow it made it through them.
It looked like a Mercedes, right?
It was a Mercedes, yes.
Someone was like, hey, it's an N-class. Someone's like, no, that's a C-class, sir.
I thought it was an E-class, but I could be wrong.
Anyway, I haven't found any other information about what happened. Like, did he have a medical emergency or drug-induced? Like, I haven't seen anything else, but it's pretty wild to watch the video. And then WestJet is retreating on their cabin reconfigs.
Yeah, they just put out a press release saying we have paused and now we are rescinding our choice to. They were densifying the cabin, taking away recline, whatever. They added a row of seats across all their 737s. And quote, following a review of operational data and feedback from guests and WestJetters, the airline will return to its prior standard seat pitch for economy cabins on these recently reconfigured aircraft by removing one row of seats. End quote.
I mean, there's been a lot of pushback on social media. I don't know if you guys have seen it. but people posting videos of trying to sit on these planes and not being able to sit straight with your knees out in front of you. And people going, WestJet, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, you can make a pizza cheap enough, no one will eat it. Right? Is that was Gordo?
That was Gordo.
Yep. That's what you wish. Do you know that Gordon Bethune follows me on Facebook and like likes posts? I mean, I don't know if I don't know if that's a compliment or what, but
it's better than Frank Lorenzo.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I guess, yeah, you make a plane tight enough, people just don't want to be on it anymore, even regardless of how cheap it is.
So going back to the United conversation, what are the odds that they take the 787s and make them hijack configs?
I mean, that's been rumored for a long time.
But that would be the right size plane then.
Like how many J? 40 J?
Probably more than 40.
And then 5 rows of PE?
Yeah.
And 10 rows of coach?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What happens when the bottom falls out?
Then they just start selling cheap upgrades.
And $29 to sit in business.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You won't get lounge access or a seat assignment, but, you know, detailed.
You get a lie flat seat. Yeah.
Yeah, I would take that in a heartbeat. That's my problem with basic business. I mean, is they can't discount it enough to offset the things that you'd be giving up.
Yeah.
Or often they don't discount enough to offset the things. Like, you can't pretend that the meal or the lounge access is worth $500.
Yeah. Or even in some cases, they pretend it's worth more.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you guys, maybe we can talk about this really quick before we go to the bonus topics. How was y'all's flights home from Heathrow?
Uneventful?
Offline.
Offline, mine as well.
I had, your BA flight was offline?
Yeah.
Was the hardware installed and it didn't work? Did you see the access point but not the network? I'm curious, what level of offline was it?
Just no access point or anything at all.
No, it's like
They reconfigured a 788 with a new interior and didn't put Wi-Fi on it.
I'm just curious if the hardware was installed on the plane at one point and it wasn't working, or they're holding off. I can't help but wonder, given the planned Starlink migration, if they are going out of their way to not worry about broken planes and not repairing things. Like, you know, they always had a little bit of a struggle on that, but if they've just stopped caring, because literally of the 4 flights I had on BA this last week, none of them did the Wi-Fi work properly. And it sucked, especially because I had work to do with both transatlantics and I lost out. I more or less got stuff done, but it was much less than I should have. And gives me pause about my next transatlantic with them in April, which, again, coming home, I'll be wanting going over to overnight, so I won't care. But coming back, I'm going to have some shit to do.
Yes. Ed started flying BA now with Antonio.
Ooh.
Shot across the bow. I flew BA on a 788 in premium economy. Their premium economy product is a little bit better than United's, just from a seat space perspective. Like, it felt like I had more space in their seat compared to, say, the 763s or the 789s. And maybe that's just perception, but it felt that way. I was annoyed too, Seth, that the Wi-Fi, there was no Wi-Fi. There were other people around me. I mean, it's a daytime flight. It leaves at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30. People want to do work. The guy next to me, he was like, well, I got things I can do offline. He's like, but it would have been nice to have been able to send these 300 emails that I finally am getting to catch up on.
Right.
You know,
which is actually funny to me. Just goes back to the 20 years ago when I would be traveling for work when I had a real job. And like, the running joke was, you know, when Seth landed.
Because all the emails come in then.
Yeah. We had Outlook. We had all my email offline. I would catch up on the week's worth of email going to or from whichever client I was going to. And like, easily could send 100 emails after a flight to Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah.
Piss a lot of people off, but
I did get to visit the Concorde room with a friend of ours. Who's a gold guest list. He took me in. He left you behind. It was good. I think it's an interesting concept. I think it definitely feels more, not bougie is the wrong word. It feels higher class than the first class lounge.
I was not that impressed by the first class lounge.
No, like the first class lounge is very crowded. There's a ton of people. It's the food's okay.
Barely.
It's like, yeah, like sometimes it's edible, sometimes it's not. Whereas the Concorde room was nice. We had lunch and we had breakfast and lunch. It was good. And they make a proper coffee. It was nice. I don't know it's worth flying BA first just to get it.
Well, you don't get it just for flying first, do you?
Yes, you do.
You get it for flying actually in the first cabin. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is fun. I mean, their naming conventions are all goofy.
Yeah.
It's funny because at check-in, they told me the train wasn't working. to B and C.
Yeah.
And then it was working.
Yeah, I walked it because I saw that and I was out of C. As I was going down, I saw a bunch of people. It looked pretty crowded though, so I'm not mad about my decision to walk out.
Where do you do the walking? Is it next to the train?
No, below. -4.
Yeah, you go down another level. Okay. Gotcha.
In the sub basement.
The sub basement.
All right. Well, we're gonna talk about some built changes, a question from a listener, Patreon subscriber, premium economy marketing shifts, and runway excursion updates in the bonus topics for our Patreon supporters. But if you're not a Patreon supporter, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.